Hi, this is the Acquire Podcast from the Audphonic Podcast Network, and I'm Jenny Wright. This is the podcast that delves deep into the world of list building and lead generation, online events, and launches. It's designed to empower entrepreneurs and marketers with the knowledge and strategies to master these essential growth tactics. Today, we're joined by a digital entrepreneur and organic content strategist, Lauren Gaggioli. Lauren, thank you so much for doing this.
Jenny, I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We are going to have a good time. We're going to talk about organic marketing. We're going to talk about SEO. And before that, I just want to share a little bit about you, that you've had this really remarkable journey into the world of online businesses, leveraging SEO, organic marketing to grow and sell your first company. Congratulations. Higher Scores Test Prep. That's awesome. And she now dedicates her expertise to support fellow entrepreneurs, helping them make the most of their organic marketing efforts and providing strategic guidance. Today, we're going to dive into messaging by mining keyword data with empathy. This is fascinating to me. And this approach doesn't just look at SEO. It's about connecting with your audience at a deeper level. And so this is going to be a fantastic conversation. Can you start by sharing some of the core principles behind mining keyword data with empathy and how it impacts like lead generation?
Absolutely. So, you know, when you look at the SEO space, it can lean very technical. And a lot of SEOs stop at, hey, I got the traffic to your digital door. You're welcome. And they kind of leave it there. And that's not actually the goal, right? The goal is to make more connections, to actually bring people into what I call your ecosystem. So when we think about ecosystems at large, you know, we have macro and micro ecosystems. Micro is the tree and macro is the forest. Micro is your website. Macro is the internet at large. And then within your website, you also can connect to other things, other entities you control, like your email list. And so when we bring people to the digital door, we don't want to just leave them on the doorstep. We want to invite them in. And just like we can use our physical body language to mirror and build know, like, and trust, if you are looking at keyword data through this lens of how can I linguistically mirror the person on the other side of that query? How can I really get underneath the heart of the pain point that they are trying to address? Then you can actually linguistically mirror them. They'll come through your door, and then you can offer them something that entices them to stay. And so that's the whole idea around looking at keyword data with empathy. You do need to understand the technical markers, but really, this is about a human-to-human connection. We're just using a screen as the tool to make that connection.
I have so many questions. Okay. My first one would be that I think that the opportunity here would be not to use AI. Or can you use AI?
So I will say I am always a late adopter. Like with all tech, I'm a late adopter.
Same.
I think when we talked about this, right, we're like, we've been burned. Like if you've been in the digital space
for as long as we have,
you've been burned, whether it was Periscope, Meerkat, InstaThreads.
Periscope. Like, oh my God. Yes. Yes.
You remember that?
I do. We did a whole thing in our business about it.
Yeah.
A whole thing. Yep. I remember.
Where is it? It's not here anymore. Well, now live streaming is, right? Yeah. Everybody put up your Periscope. Where are you, Periscope?
Yeah.
But you know, live streaming is still around. Like that, the skills you build around that is important because you can leverage it now in different ways. But you can learn that 3 months later and not be left behind. And so I go with the tried and true. And I really do think, I mean, you have to know Google's whole thing with their algorithm updates is always to elevate more quality content, right? Every algorithm update points to that, because if they are not elevating the best content, then people won't Google it. They'll something else it, right?
Sure.
And so I am standing back and letting AI play out. And for a while, that might mean that I'm not in the know, but I'm okay with that because I know that Google is going to knock down these posts that are fully generated by AI.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's so easy to tell though. So I am using AI in select instances because I have the white page blanking cursor syndrome. I need something to get me going. So I use it as a prompt, but I don't use it to write, especially the content that I need to write is high converting landing pages, sales pitches, you know, those kinds of things. And also tons of podcast names and SEO keywords and meta descriptions. I find that if you use the AI space for that, if you're using like ChatGPT, that the result does not completely sound like you. And if you're trying to do this mirroring, this linguistic mirroring, I think that potentially there are products that can support. There is a product out there, and we were talking about the person behind this product, which is CapShow. Mm-hmm. Of all of the AI powered products, I have been able to use CapShow as a better generator for prompts and things like that. And the outputs from the prompts within CapShow are actually really, really good. They actually sound like me. They need minor tweaks.
That's interesting.
I'm shocked.
That's really fascinating.
It is. So there's, for podcasting, there's Cast Magic and there's lots of other ones, right? But there's, I've used Cast Magic and I've used CapShow, and the outputs are completely different. And CapShow actually sounds, like I said, sounds like me. It would need some slight alterations. But back to this conversation about linguistically mirroring. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure AI is there yet. So give us a little bit more information about this linguistic mirroring. How do we effectively do this without spending all our time doing it? What are the results we can look at getting from it? How does it relate to, you know, lead gen and list building and those good things?
Absolutely. So I think the first step is to do quality keyword research. And I really enjoy the process of keyword research. I know it's not everybody's bag. There's a lot of numbers that float around and, you know, your brain can get twisted a little bit as you're doing it. But I think it's really important to see what people are actually typing into the query bar in Google to know the exact input. So for instance, my friend Vincent Puglisi of Membership Freedom, he was going through my course. He was going through Organic Marketing Ecosystem, and he was continually saying recurring income. And that was what he kept talking about as he was driving people to his program about creating memberships, profitable memberships. And the thing that he realized by doing keyword research is that people aren't searching recurring income. They're searching recurring revenue.
I have the same problem.
Do you?
I have the exact same problem. Do you? That nobody types into Google list building. They don't. They type in by keyword search. I have found this, that it is not list building. It is email, like growing your email list, or
which is not cute for like a tagline.
Not at all. or email list growth, but it is not list building.
Yes.
Guess what my title is? List building and lead generation expert. Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with it because I love it.
Yeah.
But I have to make sure that in any keyword work that I do on my website, my blogs, and so on and so forth, that I don't use list building.
And it's
so
one
I have
of
the
those
same
tricky things, right? Yeah. And like sometimes it matters, right? For you as a title, yeah, it needs to be quick and to the point. And I think anybody who's in that vein like understands what you mean when you say it. So it's not creating a barrier. However, if people aren't typing that in, then yeah, you have to find a different way to say it when you're typing up a post or some sort.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you do see that, like I'm sure you have the best tools, and I'm sure you'll tell us all the best tools.
Yes.
In the free tools for people who don't understand SEO, so like SEO for Dummies, like Yoast or something, I noticed that when I improved my keywords, my SEO keywords and stuff on posts and whatnot, that I was getting additional traffic, which is great. So replacing like list building and putting email list growth or, you know, those kinds of things, it does help. Yeah. So
Absolutely.
So your friend, was it John Puglisi, is going through your course?
Vincent
Puglisi is going through your mm-hmm. course. Notices he's got a problem between reoccurring income and
recurring revenue.
Recurring revenue. What yes. happened next?
So I don't know the data, but he told me today, he was like, this has actually already paid off dividends, which I think is hilarious because we're talking about recurring revenue. But that is literally the language he used. But essentially, he's just swapped it. Like, that's an easy one to just do like a one-for-one swap on. And I think what's happened is that he's just created that clear connection with his language and has been able to get a larger group to view the posts he's creating. And I don't have the exact metrics for him, which is something I need to circle back with him about, because I knew he was making that swap. But he did say today, he's like, oh yeah, I did a presentation in his group and he was like, oh yeah, it's already done wonders for me. So
that's awesome. You know,
those little things. And I think the thing that I think is most fascinating is that the tool I use, you mentioned tools, I use Ahrefs. And Ahrefs, I think it was in 2022, put out a report that 91% of the web pages on the internet get zero traffic from organic search.
What? 99%? Yeah. 91. And what was the name? 91. What was the name of the tool? Yes.
So the tool is Ahrefs.
Ahrefs?
Ahrefs.
Oh, okay.
Ahrefs.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Tag thing. But basically, if you hear like SEMrush, Moz, Ahrefs mm-hmm. is usually in the mix with those. They're you know, the pro level.
Yeah, I've heard of SEMrush.
But they do have a free SEO tool that you can use, a free keyword generator. And I have the paid version. I've tried all of them. I really love this one because it gives very granular data on the keyword difficulty side. Whereas if you're using SEMrush or Moz, sometimes the keywords feel a little hopeless. Like everything seems like the difficulty is really high. So I think they do something to make the data more granular, like on a scale, so that you can see the opportunities, and it's borne out by the results. So it's not like they're just making stuff up, but something about how they slice and dice the data, I just find better opportunities through it. And I like the interface for the paid version, but they do have free front-facing content. You don't even have to sign up. And so these tools are really powerful and I highly recommend them, because when you're doing keyword research, you do want to, you can't be tool agnostic. You've got to pick one because they all deal with the data differently. So you want to compare apples to apples. And if you start pulling keywords from different ones, it won't line up quite right.
So, I've done that.
Yes.
I've done that. And it doesn't matter.
We all have.
Yeah.
No yeah. shame. Just when you know better, do better, right?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So Ahrefs, we'll have that in the show notes for people to go check it out. I haven't even heard of this before. I've heard of SEMrush. So I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah.
Especially the free version, which is great. So can you talk about how we can use this organic version of, you know, just like reaching more people through SEO to, like, what does that look like in terms of, do we have to go back and like redo all our blogs? Can we, like, is it just go from now to improve and work on, you know, try and update stuff from the past? How do we make sure that we're doing this properly? Yeah.
So the first step I would say is to benchmark where you are now.
Okay.
Because the point is growth, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what we want. And so you want to know where you're starting. So I have a free DIY website audit that folks can have access to. It's a really simple way to just go, what's my organic traffic right now? Mm-hmm. And here are some ideas for some of the ways that I can upgrade and level up. So on the one side, there's the technical piece, right? If your site is not technically proficient, you are going to have a hard time ranking. If you are real slow and mobile, Google's not going to elevate you, because that goes to the quality of the content, right? And Google always elevates quality content. So there is a technical component that a lot of people just want to, like, out of sight, out of mind. I'm just not going to look at it. You might as well look. Right? You got to know where you stand. And then you can come up with a plan. Now, for some folks, that does mean a huge overhaul, right? Sometimes The sites are a barren wasteland, and it doesn't even matter if you blow it up because there's nothing there anyway, and we can just kind of start over. I actually did that for a client once. Her site was really struggling, and so we redid the whole thing, redefined her categorization because everything was all over. Like the URL structure was insane. I was like, these are like letters and numbers together. Google doesn't know what this is. There's literally nothing at stake by revamping the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
take it down to the studs.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you got to fix her upper. But sometimes it is just a matter of going, hey, can I look at the content that I have here and can I see how it's performing? And then maybe pick a few to revamp. Google loves a refresh, right? Put a fresh coat of paint on that blog post that's already generating traffic. Elevate it. Make it even better. Update it. And put some of the good on-page SEO metrics into play. Some of those things that you maybe didn't do the first time. Put quality H2, H3 headers. Put an image in there. Get an infographic made. You know, have it really distilled down and going to a really clear opt-in. Like, that's easier to do than saying, and I'm going to go from, you know, the blank page, blinking cursor. You're just sitting there going, oh, no, now what?
Yeah, exactly.
So it really depends case by case. But the thing that I always encourage, particularly because I'm a solopreneur, I encourage everybody to take like their energy level and their bandwidth into account.
No kidding. And
the best thing you can do for SEO is something, right? You've got to do something. So if you can't take on a full revamp of your site right now, totally fine. Can you write a really amazing blog post and trick it out in all the ways and post that? Great. Then do that. Can you get a podcast up that, you know, it has kind of sparse text around it, but you do put the transcript in? Great. Do that. So thinking about what you have the bandwidth to do and then figuring out how to kind of Pareto principle it, like what are the 20% of the things that are really going to move the needle, and lean into as many of those as you can, because it is not that hard to get out of that 91% majority where there is no traffic, right?
That blows my mind.
Oh, you wouldn't believe some of the sites that I see. I'm like, oh my goodness, you've been working at this for years, but you never signed up in Google Search Console, and now Google doesn't know you exist. Like, you're just not indexed.
So, I get it. I'm lucky. I do have a name that isn't 100% very common. Like, there's an actress with my name, but I show up in search like on the front, on the first page because of my name and, you know, other things that I've obviously done to make that happen. Yeah. But even before I was doing any SEO, I was showing up, and it's just, you know, just because I have this name, this uncommon name, thankfully. But to stay there, stay relevant, I want to keep adding more stuff. And I want to show up in other search, not just by my name, because I want to show up in, you know, how do I create an online summit? Or how do I build an email list? Like those things, I want to show up in those queries. That's a different beast. I don't show up first in those.
Interesting. Right? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And so because not everybody's going to know my name. But people will search for the thing.
You are bringing up a really important point that I'm talk about a lot, which is to say, if you're doing SEO right, you're getting found for the thing you do, not for you.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of people who have this like street cred, they have this cachet because of their name, either, you know, they've been around a long time, they're known, they've done a lot of interviews, they've reached out, you know, whatever the case may be. If you're getting found for your name alone, then people are coming to your homepage. But if you're doing SEO right, people should be coming up through the roots. They should be coming up through those granular pieces. And that's how you really know you've tipped something in Google. When I had my ACT and SAT test dates page ranking and getting thousands of hits a month, I was like, okay, I figured something out here.
My gosh.
And this is the way. To quote The Mandalorian. If I may.
you may. This is the way. Also a Mandalorian fan, so.
Oh, my friend got to meet him when we were at Disney World. shook his, he was like just roaming Galaxy's Edge, roaming around Batuu, and he happened to walk by her and she was wearing her Ahsoka shirt. And he came up and like, he goes, "I see you are one with the Force. This is the way." And little Grogu was like on his hip. It was very cute. She couldn't speak and has not washed her hands since because he shook her hand.
I'm also speechless.
Right?
Too funny. But yes, this is definitely the way. And I think it's, you pointed out something I like, and it's that tipping point. I think for everybody, that tipping point is a different level of work and a different level of attention to detail or all sorts of different factors, as you know, because it all depends. But I think the piece that I really want to hear about is the empathy piece. So can we get a little bit, you know, can we pull back a couple layers? Let's talk about the empathy piece. How do we do SEO with empathy? What is that? What's the difference? What does that mean? I know we talked a little bit about linguistic mirroring. Is that the same thing? Is it different?
So I think to get to the empathy piece, I need to preface it with one aspect of keyword research that's really important. There are a few different kinds of keyword types. And the first that I like to focus on is the informational intent. So when people just have a question, right? So in my case, what is organic marketing? Right? If somebody's asking that question, they just need an answer. The really cool thing about Google is that he's a matchmaker. Like all day long, he's just like, this person has a question. Hey, who's got the answer? This website and this website. He's like Oprah, right? So, and you get a website and you get a website. So he's dialing up all the quality content that meets that informational query. And so when somebody asks that question, they don't necessarily have a credit card in hand. Now, if somebody types in organic marketing course, maybe they have a credit card in hand.
Yeah, it's a different query.
They're probably looking for a paid offering. And sometimes it says like paid organic marketing course or free organic marketing course. So I think understanding that people are searching already with a sense of what they want in mind is really important. Now, I have a friend who does, she has feeding courses. She's an occupational therapist, a pediatric occupational therapist. And we were working through her sales page for her feeding course. And that is a transactional intent, right? If someone's looking for a feeding course for toddlers, then we really want to make sure that the first thing that, let's be honest, is probably a mom, like hate to stereotype, it's probably a mom. She's probably cooked four meals a night for however long it took her to get fed up enough to type this into Google. She probably envisioned this lovely bonding experience with her child, and now it's hell. And so how do we, before we say, hey, I have this offering, how do we go, I see you, mama. Like, I see that you are stressed, that you thought this was going to be a different way. You're probably worried that your kid is getting the nutrition that you know they need. You're probably stressed out, tired, and you just need something that helps you. Guess what? I've got great news. I'm here to help. And then she goes on to say, hi, I'm Sam. This is my background. Here's how I help. This is what it'll cost you. This is the refund policy. Here's what you'll get. I'm really excited to welcome you in. Now, that's very different than like, here's an occupational feeding course for your toddler that and puts all the same information, but by welcoming them with like, what would it feel like if mealtime wasn't so stressed? Like, I would love to help you with that. And so when we know it's a transactional query, we know that we're directing to a sales page, but that doesn't mean that empathy goes out the window. And by the same token, when you have an informational query, I see so many people try to push to a sale through an informational query. And that's actually not seeing the person behind the question, right?
Exactly.
If somebody asks a broader question, you know, how do you meet them and say, hey, I have this freebie for you, right? That's in line with this. Can I help you? Like, here's the answer to your question. I see what you're asking. Have you thought about this next step? Or here's the next right step to actually make the transformation you're looking for. And can I bring you in this way through some sort of free offering? So I worked with a Disney travel agent. Obviously, I'm a Disney person. It's come up like five times now. And my friend Phil from Ear to Their Travel, he was like, I really want to like book more cruises. That's something I really want to do. And I said, okay, well, we need to think about the kinds of questions people are asking before they book. So we came up with like a grouping of, I think it was 3 to 5 different posts. Like, what is the cost of a Disney cruise, Disneyland and Sea packages, things like that, that people would look for, like what's included in a Disney cruise. And so we explored all of those in separate blog posts. And then for him, it's really easy because the next right step is a free quote, a free, no obligation quote. Are you interested in learning more? And we knew that he was headed this direction. And in the first quarter of 2023, and part of this is COVID related, of course, but in the first quarter of 2023, he booked more cruises than he did in all of 2022.
That's amazing.
So when you think about the other person and you answer their question, you're super helpful. And, you know, that gives you the little like zhuzh of like, hey, this is how I'm different from everyone else. I'm not just going to like answer your question. I'm going to get you excited about the magic. Then that opens the door to provide whatever it is you provide that's a free next right step.
Yes. I'm nodding my head like a... You can't see it if you're listening to this, but I'm nodding my head like a fool. And it's because of the experience that we've all had. Like, imagine opening your phone. And this happened to me 2 weeks ago. The convection portion of my oven quit. And so I immediately looked up, you know, what did I put in? Something like convection oven stopped working in like the name of my thing, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of getting like the, hey, here's what to check if the convection portion of your oven is quit. It was like, yeah, was it like something repairman or, you know, Amazon, of course, Amazon always comes up.
Sure. Yeah. I'm like, would you like a new convection oven?
Yes. Would you like it? Yeah.
I can send it to you tomorrow.
This is not what I want. So I, you know, obviously I redefined my search and everything and found what I needed, which was a YouTube video that told me how to check if this thing wasn't working. And I immediately found out that if you turn your oven on when the convection fan isn't working, you can actually short circuit the whole thing and cause problems.
Oh, so important to know.
Important information that maybe you don't want to start like, you know, a fire, whatever. And so it's important. It's very important to find that information in a timely way and not get distracted into things that aren't going to matter. I didn't need a repairman or person at that point. I needed the answer. And that's where we have to think about the SEO, and we have to think about exactly like the mood of that person, that mom trying to feed her toddler, and it's the fourth meal and she's literally like ready to put, you know, cooked spaghetti on a, like right in front of them and go have at it or whatever.
Yeah.
That person is frustrated and they just want an answer. They're not looking for anything else. Like you said, they really want that empathetic answer. And it's, it's really important. I really like that.
Thank you. I also think, to your point, like seeing beyond the question that's being asked, it's the question behind the question.
Yes.
Right? The person who had the wherewithal to say, hey, if they're asking this question, they need to know they can short out their entire oven. This is really important, because what do we do when something's broken? We turn it off and on again. And we might not have changed that setting. So like, that's absolutely the whole idea behind this, is to think about that person, how they're coming to you. And if you can then provide them a way to stay connected to you, because the internet is a weird place and, you know, who knows if you'll ever be able to find that same video again, you know, being able to provide that next right step that involves connection in some way, really important.
I fully agree. Sadly, we're hitting up on a time crunch at this point. I really want to keep going. What it feels like is that I want to have a conversation with you again about very specific topics. Like, I can already think of like 3 different things I'd like to focus in on. And so we'll have to have you come back. We'll have to have a deeper discussion or a different discussion about, you know, SEO with like online events, SEO with a short-term thing, not the continuous traffic thing, but like the sales page for a certain amount of time and things like that. So that'll be a really interesting conversation.
Yes.
That I definitely want to get into. In the meantime, where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Well, thank you so much for your amazing questions. You're a fantastic interview. I really appreciate it. So if people have questions about SEO, then they can come to my website, laurengaggioli.com. I do have a course where I empower others to learn what they need to know to do their own SEO or quarterback another SEO very well. It takes a little bit of information to understand that you're not getting the wool pulled over your eyes in this space, unfortunately. And I also do have some one-on-one clients if folks want this just done for them and have the copy written and showing up on their website. And they go, ooh, magic. So we do offer that as well.
The magic option sounds incredibly appealing.
Right?
Really
we
appealing.
We all need that easy button.
Yeah. I like easy buttons, which is another way to solve the problem. So
yes.
Right? Totally about it. Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much. I can't believe that we couldn't get into some of these things, but I'm really excited about the opportunity of what this information that we were able to talk about brings to the table. And I think we're creating a little bit more awareness that, you know, when you write a blog, you just don't get the meta description off of ChatGPT. You actually think about the word, right? Exactly. You're actually thinking about the words, or you're thinking about how somebody is feeling or thinking when they're doing a search. And I think that's really important. So thank you so much for enlightening us with that.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And as always, this podcast is produced and edited by Jason Wheeler. And if you found today's episode to be of value, don't forget to subscribe, rate, or leave a review wherever it is that you're listening to podcasts. I really appreciate you being part of my community, and so I'd love for you to consider joining my Facebook group, where I'm excited to keep delivering content that empowers entrepreneurs and marketers with list building, lead generation, and launches. The link to that is in the show notes. And the Acquire Podcast is brought to you by the Oddphonic Podcast Network. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all soon.